She wakes up early, answers messages, gets the children ready, shows up to work, checks on everyone else. By the time the day ends, she has spoken to dozens of people, and still she feels alone. This is not the loneliness of being abandoned. It is the loneliness of being needed but not known, of being visible and unseen at the same time, of carrying conversations, emotions, and responsibilities while no one asks who is carrying her. Women are told they are strong. They are told they are busy for a reason. They are told this is just life. So they keep moving. They keep smiling. They keep performing connection. But beneath the schedules and the noise, something is missing. Not attention, not success, not people. Connection. In our communities, in our homes, and across generations, loneliness in women has learned how to hide in plain sight. The question is not why women feel lonely. The question is how long this silence has been mistaken for strength. Chapter 1. Set up and stakes. Loneliness does not always look like isolation. In many women, it looks like motion. It looks like calendars filled from morning to night. It looks like voices answering other voices without pause. It looks like being constantly needed. From the outside, there is no absence. There are coworkers, family, children, partners, neighbors, messages that keep coming, calls that must be returned, requests that sound small but never stop. This is why the loneliness goes unnoticed. There is no empty chair. There is no silent phone. What exists instead is a quiet gap that never gets named. Women are often raised to be connectors. From early on, they learn how to read rooms. They learn who needs comfort, who needs calming, who needs encouragement. They learn how to smooth tension before it breaks. None of this is written down, but it is taught every day through praise and correction. Be helpful, be kind, be understanding. Do not be difficult. By adulthood, this skill set is fully formed. It shows up in households where women manage not just tasks, but emotions. They remember birthdays. They track moods. They anticipate conflict before it surfaces. They adjust their tone to keep peace. This labor is invisible, but it is constant. Because it is invisible, it is rarely returned. Loneliness begins here, not from being ignored, but from being used as emotional infrastructure. When a woman becomes the place where others unload but no one unloads for her, connection turns one-directional. Over time, that imbalance creates distance, even inside closeness. Busy lives help hide this truth. Productivity becomes proof that everything is fine. If she is managing, then she must be okay. If she is functioning, then there is no problem. The culture rewards endurance, not reflection. In many communities, especially Caribbean and diaspora households, this expectation is sharpened by history. Women are framed as the backbone, the strong one, the fixer. Strength becomes identity, not choice. Vulnerability becomes a risk, not a release. When a woman says she is tired, the response is often practical, not emotional. Rest more, organize better, pray, push through. The loneliness underneath is not addressed because it is not seen as real work. There is also language working against her. Loneliness is treated as weakness, as failure, as something that happens when you are not loved enough, not married enough, not social enough. For women surrounded by people, admitting loneliness feels like admitting ingratitude. So they stay quiet. Social media complicates this further. Connection is constant, but shallow. There are likes, comments, messages that say thinking of you. But these interactions rarely hold weight. They do not create safety. They do not invite honesty. They reward presentation, not truth. A woman scrolling late at night can feel more alone than she did before opening the screen. Everyone else appears fulfilled, surrounded, supported. She begins to question her own experience. If everyone else seems fine, then the problem must be her. This is where loneliness turns inward. Instead of asking what is missing in her relationships, she asks what is wrong with her. Why do I feel this way? Why am I not satisfied? Why can I not just be grateful? These questions isolate her further because they frame loneliness as a personal defect rather than a shared condition. Workplaces reinforce this silence. Women are expected to be collaborative, approachable, emotionally intelligent. They absorb stress from teams. They mediate conflict. They support colleagues through personal crises. Yet when they struggle, there is little space to hold that reality. Professionalism demands composure. Strength is measured by how much pressure you can carry without showing cracks. Loneliness does not qualify as a legitimate concern. It has no metric, no clear outcome, no deadline. So it is pushed aside. Relationships do not always solve this. in some cases, they deepen it. Being partnered does not guarantee being understood. Many women report feeling emotionally alone inside relationships where communication revolves around logistics, bills, schedules, responsibilities. The emotional center never gets addressed. Asking for deeper connection can feel risky. It can be dismissed, minimized, interpreted as neediness. Over time, many women stop asking. They adjust their expectations downward. They accept partial connection as the price of stability. Motherhood intensifies the pattern. The needs of children are immediate and unquestionable. A mother's loneliness is often framed as selfishness. The narrative says fulfillment should come from caregiving itself. If it does not, something must be wrong with her. This belief leaves little room for honesty. What makes this epidemic hidden is not just silence. It is normalization. Women see their mothers carry it, their grandmothers before them. They inherit scripts that say endurance equals love, sacrifice equals worth. Loneliness becomes familiar, almost expected. There are moments when it surfaces, late at night, in the car, in the quiet after everyone else has gone to sleep. These moments are often brief, interrupted by the next task. There is no space to sit with the feeling long enough to understand it. And so the cycle continues. The stakes here are not small. Loneliness erodes trust. It changes how women show up. It narrows emotional range. It creates distance where closeness should live. Over time, it reshapes identity. A woman who feels unseen begins to disappear in small ways. She shares less, asks for less, expects less. The world does not notice this retreat because it happens quietly. This is not about isolation in the traditional sense. It is about imbalance. About giving without receiving, about connection without reciprocity, about being surrounded yet unsupported. And if this loneliness is not accidental, if it is produced by expectations, systems, and inherited roles, then the question becomes sharper. Who benefits when women remain strong, silent, and alone? Chapter 2, Escalation and Reversal. Loneliness deepens when it is absorbed without protest. In the lives of many women, emotional labor is not an occasional act. It is a permanent assignment. It operates in families, workplaces, friendships, churches, and communities. It fills the space between what is said and what is felt. This labor has rules. Be available. Be understanding. Be calm. Be the one who remembers. Be the one who notices when something is wrong. And above all, do not make your own need the center. This is how connection becomes uneven. In families, women often become emotional managers. They translate silence. They soften anger. They absorb stress so others can function. When conflict arises, they are expected to resolve it. When something breaks emotionally, they are expected to fix it. This work is constant but rarely acknowledged. Because it is expected, it is invisible. Because it is invisible, it is unpaid. And because it is unpaid, it is treated as limitless. Loneliness grows when care is assumed rather than chosen. Friendships are not immune. Many women find themselves in relationships where they are the listener, the counselor, the responder. They are called during crises. They show up during breakdowns. They hold space for grief, fear, and confusion. But when their own silence stretches too long, it goes unnoticed. These relationships are not always abusive. Often they are simply unbalanced. Over time, imbalance drains connection of its meaning. A woman begins to feel less like a person and more like a service. Digital life intensifies this dynamic. Messaging makes access immediate. Boundaries dissolve. A woman can be reached at any hour. Support becomes constant, but shallow. Responses replace presence. Check-ins replace care. The phone never stops buzzing, yet no one sits beside her. Online spaces reward availability. They reward affirmation. They reward emotional output. Women are praised for being supportive, empathetic, and strong. These traits gain approval, but not protection. Behind the screen, loneliness grows sharper. The performance of connection replaces the experience of it. Language helps keep this system in place. Certain phrases shut down honesty before it can fully form. Be grateful. Stay strong. You are doing great. Others have it worse. These statements sound supportive, but they carry an instruction. Do not complain. Do not disrupt. Do not ask for more. When women internalize this language, loneliness becomes a personal failure. If she feels empty, she assumes she is ungrateful. If she feels disconnected, she assumes she is demanding too much. Shame enters quietly. Instead of asking for support, she questions her right to it. Instead of naming loneliness, she minimizes it. She tells herself it is temporary, that she is tired, that she should push through. This is how loneliness is maintained without force. Institutions benefit from this arrangement. Families run smoothly when women absorb emotional friction. Workplaces function efficiently when women manage morale. Communities stay stable when women hold relationships together. The cost is rarely counted. In professional settings, emotional labor is expected but not recognized. Women are asked to mentor, mediate, and support. They are praised for being team players. Yet these contributions are rarely tied to advancement or protection. When burnout appears, it is framed as personal weakness rather than systemic extraction. Loneliness becomes part of the job. In romantic relationships, this pattern often intensifies. Emotional needs are filtered through practicality. If she is fed, housed, not alone, then she should be fine. Emotional disconnection is dismissed as abstract or excessive. Many women learn to lower their expectations to preserve peace. They stop asking for depth. They stop naming absence. They accept partial intimacy as the cost of stability. The relationship continues. The loneliness deepens. This silence is not accidental. It is reinforced by generations. Mothers pass it to daughters not through instruction, but through example. They model endurance. They normalize emotional scarcity. They teach that love is proven by sacrifice. Daughters learn to equate worth with usefulness. Community structures often reinforce this. Women's spaces become places of service rather than refuge. Support is organized around giving, not receiving. Vulnerability is allowed only if it does not disrupt the role. The moment a woman asks for sustained care, she risks being labeled difficult, demanding, weak. So most do not ask. Loneliness is not just a feeling here. It is a function. It keeps women productive. It keeps them compliant. It keeps them available. A woman who is too connected to herself is harder to manage. A woman who expects reciprocity disrupts balance. The reversal comes when this loneliness begins to show consequences. Withdrawal, numbness, exhaustion, loss of trust. These changes are often misread as attitude problems or personal decline. The system responds by demanding more adjustment from the woman. Communicate better. Be patient. Try harder. Manage yourself. The question is never asked of the structure. This is where the epidemic reveals itself, not in dramatic collapse, but in slow erosion. Women remain present, but less alive. They participate, but from a distance. They fulfill roles, but lose intimacy with themselves. Loneliness becomes normalized because it serves function. And if that is true, then this is no longer about individual feelings. It is about power, about who carries emotional weight, about who is allowed to need. The silence around women's loneliness is not neutral, it is useful. And once that is understood, the pressure shifts. Loneliness is not accidental. Someone profits from women carrying it quietly. Chapter 3, Consequences and Legacy. Loneliness does not remain contained, it leaks. It reshapes behavior, identity, and trust. When women carry emotional isolation for years, it does not stay abstract. It becomes structural inside their lives. One of the first changes is withdrawal. Not dramatic disappearance, but subtle retreat. A woman speaks less about herself. She shares fewer thoughts. She stops explaining how she feels because experience has taught her it will not land. This is not apathy. It is self-protection. Over time, she becomes efficient instead of expressive. This withdrawal is often misread. Others assume she is fine because she is quiet. They assume she is strong because she keeps going. They assume distance means independence. The loneliness deepens because even its signals are misunderstood. Trust erodes next. When a woman learns that her emotional needs are secondary, she stops believing they will be met. She may still love, still show care, but she no longer expects safety in return. Intimacy becomes risky. Vulnerability becomes exposure. This affects how she relates to partners, friends, and even children as they grow. She may encourage independence early, not because she does not care, but because reliance feels unsafe. She has learned that needing too much leads to disappointment. Loneliness teaches restraint. Identity shifts quietly. Many women define themselves by usefulness for so long that they lose contact with who they are outside that role. When asked what they need, they hesitate. When given space, they feel unsure how to fill it. This is not emptiness, it is unfamiliarity. The consequences extend beyond the individual. When women pull back emotionally, communities lose something essential. Connection weakens. Informal support networks thin out. Emotional knowledge disappears. What once held people together begins to fray. This is how loneliness becomes collective. Intergenerational transfer plays a role. Daughters watch their mothers carry everything. They see strength without softness. They absorb the lesson that love requires endurance, not expression. Even when mothers try to protect their children from this pattern, the modeling is powerful. Loneliness passes not through instruction, but through atmosphere. The legacy of this isolation shows up in how women relate to one another. Support exists, but is often task-based. Help is offered, meals are cooked, crises are handled, but sustained emotional presence remains rare. Everyone is carrying too much to hold more. When loneliness is shared but unnamed, it multiplies. Naming it changes the dynamic. The moment loneliness is framed as a social issue rather than a personal flaw, pressure shifts. Responsibility moves away from the individual and toward the systems that normalize imbalance. This does not mean women are powerless. It means the burden was misassigned. Reclaiming connection does not start with solutions or slogans. It starts with permission. Permission to admit absence without apology. Permission to say this is not enough. Permission to expect reciprocity. This is uncomfortable work. Systems resist change quietly. When women begin to name loneliness, they may face dismissal. Minimization, accusations of negativity. These reactions are predictable. They protect the status quo. But something shifts when silence breaks. A woman who names her loneliness begins to reappear. She speaks more honestly. She chooses relationships differently. She notices where care flows only one way. She starts setting limits, not out of anger, but clarity. This clarity has consequences. Some relationships do not survive it, others deepen. Communities may resist before they adjust, but the alternative is continued erosion, continued disappearance in plain sight. Loneliness, once spoken, demands response. The legacy question becomes unavoidable. What kind of future is built when half the population is emotionally isolated by design? What happens to families, communities, and cultures when care is extracted but not returned? This is not about blame, it is about accountability. When women stop carrying loneliness alone, systems are forced to confront what they rely on. Emotional labor can no longer be infinite. Strength can no longer mean silence. Connection must become mutual, not assumed. The cost of ignoring this has already been paid quietly for generations. Loneliness shaped women into survivors, but survival is not the same as living. And history shows that when women shift from endurance to expectation, structures change. The final truth is simple and uncomfortable. This loneliness was never just personal. And now that it has been named, the system has to answer for it.